You're awesome. Thank you. Bless you. Oh, guys, that's all good. Amen. No, come on. Sit down. I don't have much time. Sit down. Hey, he said noon. I didn't thought we were going to get finished before that. But I'm going to be so gentle with you guys. There's a lot of people from out of town. I thought this better be good. You came all that way. This preacher better know what he's saying. You know what I mean? Oh, my goodness. I've had so much fun here this weekend. I want to encourage you. When I walked in, I'm all over the country. I'm in churches every weekend, and I'm in a lot of beautiful, amazing places. I'm not saying this to find favor, so you like me. Most of you already do that know me. There's something special going on. Be a part of it. It doesn't just mean this church. There's just something special going on. Body of Christ stuff. I'm not just talking about this church. God's doing something special. He's increasing revelation. Things are making sense like never before. He's taking off the deadness of just tradition, going through the motions. You know how easy it is to just get up, get the kids ready, and try to make it on time to church and give up halfway because you're going to be late again and fuss each other for not getting the kids up. And I thought you were. Well, I thought, yeah, rushing and get them to, and then you sit down your purse. You know, it's just, what are we doing? Get a grip. Let's regroup. We're not doing church. We're the church. Like, listen, guys, that means we're the expression of Him. We're not paying homage to God today. We're being increased in understanding and multiplied and looking more like Him when we leave than when we came. It's the whole reason we gather, is in order to stir one another in love and good works. So you live this way, not this way. You've received the kingdom freely. You've received, freely give. You've received the Spirit of God, the nature of God, the love of God, the person of God. And He wants to live through you towards others. We're not doing church. It's not like we got to get to church. We're coming to be increased and encouraged. Make sure there's no lies creeping in, that we're focused, that our eyes single, that we're walking the way, that we're on point. You know what I mean? So you're not letting life speak louder than truth, and people matter more than purpose. And what I mean by people is like what people said, what people did, and oh, life is tough, and what a grind, and I can't believe they did that and said that. All of a sudden you're so distracted, but yet you know He died for you. Come on, none of this stuff has anything to do with why He died and who you are now that He came. And we get so distracted with this stuff sometimes. And I'm not spanking you right now. Listen, it feels really funny quiet in here. I am not scolding you. I'm here to tell you who you are through who He is and what He's done, so you don't let something matter more that doesn't matter most. So that you actually live productive and life-giving and actually carry something to the throne room on the day you stand before Him and didn't just survive and make it. But you actually have a heritage and a legacy, and you have sown Him into the hearts of men, and you have stayed encouraged in the face of trouble and every circumstance. You have shined. You have guarded your heart. You haven't let it get hard. You haven't let it get hurt. Why? Because He never was that way to you, and you're never going to be that way to others. Come on, it's the gospel. Don't let your heart be for sale. You're not for sale. You're bought with a price and you're not your own. He paid an amazing price to obtain you and live inside of you. You're called to be a house with no empty rooms. There's a no vacancy flashing over you. You are fulfilled in Christ. You have purpose. You have destiny. You don't just work a job. You shine as a light. Thank God for the tool of earning income, but it's a mission field. Everywhere you go, you walk as He walked. The Bible says if any man abideth in Him, he ought to walk even as He walked. Well, that's impossible, brother. It's why you have Holy Spirit. Nah. See, I'm not the man I used to be. And I'm excited about that. You might not be all that excited, but I know that other man. I'm very excited. And it was 21 years ago when that changed. And you can see I haven't grown cold yet. I haven't toned down yet. I actually calmed down a little to communicate. You're only seeing about half of what's going on inside of me. The person beside me on the plane today will get the other half. Hey, how are you? Pool cord doll, you ever see one? And you know what will happen? Probably about 5 minutes into the conversation. It just happens all the time. You know why? I'm not distracted. I don't care about lines and middle seats and Jiffy Johns. It means nothing to me. I don't care about convenience and group five and aisle and window. Stop it. I care about people. I care about the kingdom. I care about Jesus. Because when I got born again, I loved not my own life unto death. I denied myself so he could obtain me and I could obtain him. I care about people. I don't care if they smell a little. I don't care if they're a little wider than the seat and I'm pushed. I don't care. I don't care. I care about people. And in about 5 minutes, you know what's going to happen because of that? Not because I'm like, God, speak to me. I need to be used. I need a word. I want to prophesy. I want to be a prophet. Stop it. Become like him and you have an inroad to all that he is. Just get your heart pure and the pure in heart shall see God. It's pretty simple. Yay. I was 4 months saved. Got a word of knowledge. Saw a miracle. Didn't even know what a word of knowledge was, but it was in my life. Why? Because love was. Everything works through love. It doesn't all work through gifting. It works through love. Gifting's supposed to work through love. If gifting's not working through love, gifting's not even healthy. I know, thanks. But you're an encouragement to me. In about 5 minutes, I'll just get a little discernment and I'll say, man, what's going on with, hey, what's up with, why are you saying, what are you? And in about 3 or 4 more minutes, there's usually trembling, weeping, and the presence of God happens all the time. Why? He's in me. I'm a Christian. I'm not caught up with life. I'm caught up with the one that gave life. I'm never going to let something matter more that doesn't matter most. The reason mercy woke me up this morning is to be like him. The only reason man's on the earth, read this book. The only reason God made man is to be found in his image and likeness. And if we're pursuing anything else, we're living outside of purpose and created value. It's like running a motor without oil in it. It doesn't work well. Do you know what happened? Through sin, man separated from God, from truth, from image, from identity, and man got lost. He became alone and desolate. He lost his creative value, his identity, his destiny. Sin, it's separation, it's life apart from God. He's not a positional place. He's not a theology. He's not a doctrine. He's my father. It's relational. It's covenant. He lives in me. Covenant is all that I am is yours. And he says, all that I am is yours. And 1 + 1 becomes a stronger one. It's amazing. This is not some religious doctrinal position. We're believers. No, we're Christ-like. He's in us. He shines through us. We walk in love. We make peace. We show mercy. Watch this. We don't have attitudes detrimental to others. We don't have hard hearts. We're not angry and frustrated and nitpicky. And no, we're not, because he's not. And as he is, so are we in the world. But somehow we got this idea that Christianity is all about benefiting us and blessing us and making sure my vats are full and that the kids never make a bad choice and that people always treat me right. And we pray for the boss to be nice. I'm waiting for you. I'm just letting that be thought about a little. I don't know where we made this turn, but somewhere along the line, we made the gospel all about us getting something from God instead of us becoming transformed by God. We made this all about us being blessed instead of us being changed. So you can pray a prayer to go to heaven. You can see your need for Savior and actually get real with the fact that you've sinned and be sincere and ask forgiveness and stay angry, frustrated, personal, jealous, prideful, competitive, and just like you were before. Because you weren't maybe taught growing up when you said that prayer that we push. You might not have been taught you're dying so you can live. You're giving back everything you were so everything He is can come alive. And you might just think the attitudes, the motives, and the emotions you knew growing up are the way God made us. No, it's the way we became when Adam ate the tree and man got separated from God. That's why you relate to loneliness. That's why you relate to frustration. That's why you relate to discouragement. That's why we relate to anger. Why? Because it became all about you. Not all about Him. So if any man, we're all invited. If any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Not pray a prayer to assure he goes to heaven if he dies on the way home. We preach such a self-serving gospel. And the whole gospel's all about giving up yourself. Because we preach a self-serving gospel, we have discouraged Christians. We got frustrated Christians. We got Christians that go to church that don't want to go to church because they're mad at three other churches. And it proves we don't understand the gospel. And we don't know Him like we sing. Because your love reveals your knowledge of Him. Because it says if you know Him, you'll love. If you don't love, you don't know Him. Doesn't say you don't see your need for Savior. It doesn't say you don't believe Jesus died on the cross. It just says if you don't love, 1 John 4:8, it's there. You can check it. If you don't love, you don't know Him. See, the goal isn't going to heaven. This is eternal life, that you might know Him. Because if I know Him, who He is becomes my reality and my expression. And now I'm restored back to His image, the way He made man. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son, right? So what He loves is what He created. What He loves is what He made us to be. God said, let us make man in our image. So God created man in His image, in His own likeness. He created him both male and female, ladies, in His image. What's your creative value, girls? His image. You're not less than a man. You have the same creative value, the same destiny to be like Him. You're not lacking anything. You're amazing. Yeah? You're not subservient to us. The word submit to your husband doesn't mean be a slave to him. It means yield and adapt yourself to him as you would to the Lord. It means make peace and don't get disgruntled and frustrated and nitpicky and bossy. Because that reveals self-will, self-centeredness. And then when you say, I love you, all you're really doing is saying, I need you. Don't do me wrong. See, because love takes no account of the wrong done to it. So why are we so busted up by each other? Probably because we don't understand love. Probably when I say, I love you, it's really, I need you. I love you. Do you love me? That's not the gospel, church. That's the fall of man. It's caused a lot of pain in the body of Christ, and it's hindered our expression of Him. So the world's not impressed with who he is because they can't see him in us. Because we look like them, we just have a different belief in him. I'm not being mean, guys. I'm smiling the whole time. Come on. You can't get mad at me. I'm too nice to you today. But can't we just have a family talk? Can't we just be in the living room? You don't have to fit this description. I'm not saying it's you. I'm saying don't ever let it be you. Guard your heart. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Do you know how easy it is to get a hard heart? Do you know how easy it is to think in rightness and be so right that your heart's hard? So right that you're angry. Just get caught up with politics for 20 minutes, disagree with somebody, and now you're bitter because of a presidential race. And all of a sudden, your life is up for grabs. You're not established in anything, man. You're blowing like the wind, and you're a product of the moment. But you believe in him, and you're there on Sunday. Come on, you can handle this. This isn't hard. This is life-giving. You young people, you may not relate to this because I'm 54, but I tell you what, when I was 18, I wish I saw what I see now. I would have a different heritage legacy. I'd have a way bigger thing following me called legacy. I wouldn't have spent time on nothing. I wouldn't have spent time being right and frustrated and mad at my wife and hurting her for 13 years because she wasn't what I thought she'd be, never considering what I was, never even considering what I was lacking, what I wasn't. It's just so easy to look to somebody else and blame your life on something. There isn't a factor in my life that can stop what you see burning in my heart. My own wife can't break my heart. I didn't wake up for her to love me. I woke up to love. I didn't wake up to need her. I woke up to be like Jesus in her life. And I don't care how tried her day is, it'll bring the best out in me. Yay. So we're just going to have an okay day and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. You say, brother, I don't believe you can live that way. I understand unbelief's a problem in the body of Christ. It's a problem, because when the rubber meets the road and this thing boils down to the end, you're going to have two groups of folks, people that believe the gospel and people that didn't. That's all you're going to have. So you can yell butt yourself all the way to the end, and you can make excuses to remain the same, and you can point fingers any way you want. But what did you do with the Jesus you heard? And why are you letting something else matter more? When he is the Lord. The Lord means to govern over, supreme factor, ruler. And you're going to say, well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. I'd be in a different place if it wasn't for this, this, and this. Man, I got good news for you. This, this, and this isn't the Lord. Why is it dictating your life? It's not the potter. So somewhere along the line, you got the misunderstood idea that the gospel's all about serving you instead of transforming you. This isn't too harsh, is it? You're so quiet. Is it just because you're hearing and going, man, I thought I was just coming to a service. You are. To get stirred up in love and good works. To live effective so people see the light in you and glorify him. Let your light so shine before men, church. That's not some evangelistic duty. That's the joy of walking in love. Love is evangelistic. You're not even trying to impress anybody. You're absolutely impressed with the truth. And you understand why you're on the planet. Oh my goodness. And the questions are all answered through him. Because he's the way, not a good idea. Oh, I'm preaching so good. Be honest with me. Think how susceptible our hearts have been. I've learned this. I haven't been around forever, but I've been around long enough to learn this. Being right doesn't make it right. Sometimes you're so fixed on being right, it produces everything wrong. See, God didn't judge you and me in rightness. Because if he came in being, if God came being right, we're desperately wrong. He comes in righteousness. What that means, he sees you in a view in the face of weakness, imperfections, and failure, and he sees you through an eye that wants to make you right to fulfill what he knows you really are, what's possible, what's capable, what's potential. He judges us through his son in righteousness. There's a difference. You being wrong, he stands you in front of him and makes you right because he has a higher vision than what you've produced. And he knows more about who you are than you've ever known because he made you from the beginning. Yeah? So we get this idea that the cross is only here to expose our sin and our need for a Savior. No, the whole design of the cross is to remove your sin and reveal you have a greater value and destiny than what you've been living. The cross says, I love you. You're more than you think. I've known you from the beginning. I'm honored to shed my blood for you because there's more to your life than you've understood. But I know who you are. Come to me. I'll give you light. Yeah? Come on! You tell me who pays a high price for nothing. We've been always taught that the cross and he had to die because we're sinners. Yes, he had to die because we sinned. He didn't die because we're sinners. He died because something was lost. Your created value, your identity in him, your purpose, your destiny, everything you're created to be was lost through sin. So God said, I'll tell you what, we'll cause Jesus, who's perfect and pure, to fulfill what man failed, and we'll make him sin on the cross so people that put their faith in him have access to me and can be free from sin and step in to what they're created to be. I know you people. You do not write the check unless you think what you're paying for is well worth the price. You're bargain hunters. You're two for one. Yeah? You're buffet, all you can eat. $9.99 if it still exists. You're there. Come on, man. If you write the check, what are you saying? What I'm getting as the purchased possession is worth the price I'm giving. Come on, that just makes sense to everyone. So did you ever consider the blood of Jesus? How do you value the blood of the Son of God, who's pure and holy and righteous, unmovable, unshakable, rock of ages, was, is to come, name above every name. Heaven, earth, under the earth will bow to who he is. And yet he goes into the womb of a little girl, crockpots for 9 months and comes out her birth canal just like we did. He doesn't shortcut it. Why? He's the captain of our salvation, the perfect sacrifice. He came as a man. God anointed Jesus. If he came as God, he wouldn't need anointed. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. You can't tempt God. If he came as God, he couldn't be tempted at all points. He came as a man. And God defeated the devil and the fall through a man. And then he put his life and his spirit in all that would believe through his name. And here's what believing is. It's not praying in case you die tonight. It's realizing I've been living a lie. I've been making it all about me. Even my relationships cater to me. Even my friendships serve me. I've been living a lie. I was never created to survive. I was created to shine. I was never created to be self-willed. I was created to follow the will of God. Wow, I've been out of the box. I've been in the world and of it, and it's time to come out of the world and into his marvelous light. I want to get born again. We've made it a beneficiary life insurance prayer instead of heaven coming back into you. Come on. Yeah. This preaching changed my life 21 years ago. You can see it's time tested, and I believe it. You say, you're out of your mind. I might be out of yours. Yay. The eye is the lamp of the body. What you see is revealed through how you live. What you believe is revealed through how you carry your life. What you express through your life is the evidence of what you see and believe. Your life lived reveals what you put your faith in. Men are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, so that's why we do these services and gather together. Let's get to knowledge and stop destruction. And let's put everybody either in the camp of believer or don't believe. Want to incorporate him into your life in hopes of a better life? Or you want him to become your life so you can shine? Did you ever notice that light's greater than darkness? Like, these lights, if I back up here, they're really bright. Nobody ever walked into a real bright room and said, dude, would you turn up the darkness? It's too bright. If the room gets darker or dimmer, what happened? Someone turned down the light. Why? Simple. Light is greater than darkness. So I guess the problem is never the issue. I guess it's always the answer. So I guess it's not about what this world's coming to. I guess it's about who Jesus is in us. So let your light so shine. Before, it didn't say make sure you go to a church that preaches the word, stay faithful, serve in a ministry, and give your tithes. Please go somewhere and stay connected so you stay focused. But that isn't what Christianity is, making sure you're part of a local church. Christianity is walking in the light as he's in the light. Christianity is Christ-likeness. Look what we do to our children and don't even realize we're doing it. We're not evil. We're not hypocrites. We're not wicked in this. We don't even know we're doing it. We take our kids to church because it's so important. Well, my children are growing up in church. Boom, they're in church, baby, all the way through. But at home, there's a lot of things that aren't like Christ. So then we teach our children without saying it that church attendance is Christianity, not Christ-likeness, because we all have our issues. And then we wonder why when they're 15, they don't want to pay attention and don't want to go. Because it's not real. Because there's too much bickering and fighting and animosity and gimme, gimme, and me and I, and you tick me off and get to your room and I've had enough. Holy, holy. Come on, I'm just here to provoke you. I'm getting on a plane. You could stone me before I get there. But watch this. I'm not going to die, so it really doesn't matter. And I'm serious. There's zero fear of death in me. I've been given the opportunity, faced it two different times, and didn't even budge. Yeah. Just wonder if he breaks the fear of the bondage of death, and that's the thing that's ruled men since Adam ate the tree. Wonder if the only reason you pray is because you're afraid, not faith. Wonder if you only pray because of sentiment and empathy. Wonder if you only pray because you're afraid. Wonder why we don't get a lot of responses a lot of times. I wonder if where we pray from is wrong. I wonder if we don't understand. I wonder if we're innocently being deceived. I wonder if we only pray because we're fear of death instead of the promise of life. I wonder if we're only praying because they have children and grandchildren and we don't want them in sentiment. It's just human and it just makes sense. But it has nothing to do with the kingdom, longevity, and legacy. I wonder if we're really not seeking the kingdom first, just our well-being. And all of a sudden, we reduce this amazing book that introduces you into relationship, covenant, and intimacy. I wonder if we reduce this to principles we're applying, hoping to get help. Don't get mad at me. Well, you can if you want. It'll just locate you. Then the whole sermon is for you. So I guess that would be easy. Because here's the deal. I am not here to offend you, and you're not going to offend me. Because I didn't wake up to need you this morning. I woke up to love you. Because I found myself through Jesus, so I don't need you to find me. It's so good. Because 21 years in, I probably had enough time to find out different, if there was different. I bet you I experienced life just like you did for the last 21 years. I bet you not everybody dear to my immediate heart and family has made the right choices. I bet not everybody's treated me fair. I probably have gone through the same things my brothers all over the world have gone through, so don't think it's strange. But see, you're looking for identity. You're still looking for yourself and other things. All of a sudden, you make so much of what you're going through. Now it's your language for 3 weeks. It's the new saga. It gives you something to talk about. Why? Because we're not doing the thing we're created to do. We're being distracted without realizing it. And all of a sudden, it's all about what I'm going through instead of all about what he went through to make me something new. That's why we always say, but you don't know what I'm going through. What about what he went through? Maybe that's higher. Maybe you become changed through that and your perspective changes. The eye, remember the eye, lamp of the body? If the eye is single, healthy, looking through truth, the whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say, unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. Think about Jesus. Did he have any challenges and issues? Like, he didn't personally embrace issues, but did he have the opportunity to? Could he have turned his back on men and people would have understood? Was he done wrong? Be honest. Let's just talk plain. Was Jesus done wrong? Let me be frank with you. The greatest injustice that ever will be. Because no one was ever more pure and ever more right. Is that a true statement? He didn't have a twist to his motives. He didn't have a catch or a string attached. There was never one more pure than him. And he got treated for everything but what he was. What do you call that? Discouragement, unfairness, a talk show? Yeah. And then the audience is the judge. And now you got a victim. Oh, and they stay the same because, oh, doesn't change you. It empowers you to stay there. And now you got a villain. Never change because you'll never see them for what they're called to be. And they'll believe they're a villain and the tree will stay the same. Victim, villain, nobody wins, everybody loses. I don't care if you got 20 people cuddling the victim and 40 people shunning the villain, everybody loses, even the people that are doing that. Because your eyes skewed, you're not even thinking like Jesus. When a spouse cheats on a spouse, you know what we do? Oh, I can't believe they did that to you. We're mad at the person that cheated because how could they do that? And I can't believe. And we don't even realize that person is desperately in trouble. They are blind and deceived and walking into destruction and nobody seems to care. We just seem to say, I can't believe they did that to you. And then this person gets stereotyped for what they did and the action of one person starts deciding another life. Well, that should be Jesus. So if I go home from this trip and my wife is caught in a situation like you know what I'm talking about, why would I be so broken and need you to hold me? How am I any less anointed, any less in tune with God, any less filled with the Spirit of God? Am I a Christian for me or for His glory? Why would I cry for me if she's in that much trouble? Something's wrong. Something went, something's wrong. Why would I live for the moment and not have a bigger vision and for the joy set before me pass through? All I'm preaching to you is Christianity. It's funny how it sounds foreign. Because we've catered to ourselves in our preaching in so many ways. We give to get breakthrough, blessing, favor. We sing the songs and everybody gets excited when we talk about favor poured on us and blessing. We're like, oh, give it. You have so much favor and blessing, it's ridiculous. God will never see you for where you've been or what you've done. through the blood of Jesus if you're humble and sincere. He'll only see you for what you're called to and created, and he's willing to empower that truth if you'll pursue it. I have total access to God today, like unlimited. I can have as much of him as I desire. Or I could let something else matter more. Or I could say, well, she looked at me funny. Well, he was rude. Now you tell two more people. Now you got a screen on your eyes. And now other people are rude. Next thing you know, my church isn't even loving. And then you leave. It happens all the time. And I'm thinking, it's not about your church being loving. It's about you being loving. You say, well, I went there. It wasn't loving. It should have been. You were there. Get out of your chair and love somebody. Make a friend. Show yourself friendly. Ask if somebody needs prayer. Bless somebody. Well, I'm introverted. No, no, you're in Christ. Well, I'm a type whatever personality. Stop it. Heaven's in you. You're studying Adam and taking on his identity, proclaiming Jesus. Oh, I'm on it a little. Psychologists would crucify me for this because you have such a training in psychology, and all psychology is human behavior and what makes us tick. But you're studying a fallen man. So if you study a fallen man in psychology, you ought to be able to implement the strong truth that takes them out of your diagnosis. Not just talk to them for a year about why they're where they're at. Yeah, I'm not mad at psychologists. If you're a psychologist, don't get offended. What I'm saying is it's more than diagnosing what makes humans think the way they do. It's not rocket science to say, wow, they were treated this way when they were 5. Wow, their dad left when they were 11. Wow, you're going through. Well, yeah, but what about the answer? So do we leave them an unfortunate child that was forsaken and all that stuff? Or we tell them, listen, sorry they treated you that way. They didn't have a revelation of who God is, but God knows you and loves you. Don't reflect this on God. It's the biggest lie on the earth. The deal is dry cups were in your life. No wonder you're thirsty. Come over here and take a drink. One drink, you'll never thirst again. Now you can have mercy on your parents instead of unforgiveness, and you can realize if they saw what you're beginning to see, they wouldn't have been what they were. So we really don't have a problem. Look at me. Look at me. You say, you're crazy. Look at me. Can you tell my dad was an alcoholic my whole life and never said I love you and actually cursed me and told me I'd never be nothing? Do you see that? Can you see that my mother was sick for 40 years and I put her to bed and changed her diapers and she died? Can you see that in me? You can't see that in me. Can you see my wife was in a coma on life support with severe brain damage? Can you see that in me? Can you see that my son was on drugs for 6 years and left home and didn't want to talk to me because he was deceived? And my daughter made a bad decision for a long time? Do you see any of that in me? Yeah, that's right, you don't. Because what you see in me has nothing to do with none of that. It has to do with the honor of who he is. And why I'm on the planet. I am not on the planet to survive. I am on the planet to shine. And if I miss that point, I've missed the whole point, even if I went to church for 50 years. Amen. Going to church doesn't transform your life. Surrendering to him does. The truth will make you free. Are we okay? I'm not too over the top, right? You jerk me off here if you need to, Pastor. I'm just here to bless you. I want to cheer you on. I want to challenge some of these lies that have hindered us, even though our hearts are good. I've seen too many good people held back by wrong things. Too many people, if they understood, they'd do something with it. Too many people believe in little foxes that are spoiling the precious fruit that wants to come in their life. And that's why I talk this way with passion. My son is great, by the way. My daughter is awesome, and my wife is healed and fine with no brain damage. But it's a pretty sad day if the only revelation I have is, God, why are you letting us go through all this? What did I do wrong as a parent? How come my boy doesn't love me? I feel so hurt and alone. I mean, he's my son, and I care for him. I raised him. Why can't he call me? Get over this stuff. get a bigger vision than now. See, I can talk that raw because I know what I'm talking about. If I never had a challenge, you could probably get offended at me. But I know what it's like to not have your son talk to you for a couple years because of what he was believing. Can I tell you what he was believing? He's believing, man, I can't believe I'm in this family. And he's my dad. And because of who he is, now I have to do Jesus. He had seen Jesus through his life. He had watched people get healed. He was praying in tongues when he was five. He's laid on the floor under the Spirit of God many times. And yet at a teenage year with peer pressure and people and lies and relentless strategies, one day, he turned it into works, and I got to do Jesus because of who my dad is. Started resenting his dad because he felt like it was controlling his life. When 1,000 times over, I told him, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to follow what I do. You don't have to be a pastor. Just be the best you, buddy. Just keep growing in the Lord and shining and being the best you. You can't disappoint us. Our expectation isn't in you. It's in the Lord. We didn't birth you to live your life for you. So go be the best you can be, buddy. His sellout was, well, I'm ticked. I'm going to get high. Okay. That settles a lot, huh? Hadn't talked to him for several years, people. I'm inside the house canning tomatoes. I'm a farmer. I got the little pressure canner. Got the worship going. I'm out there. Jesus, I'm skinning. I'm loading jars. My wife's out of town. I got the kitchen all to myself. Because she's funny when I'm in there. She's out there looking. She's wiping. She's helping. She's such a helper. I'm like, honey, go read a book. It's all right. Just go be with Jesus. I'll be fine. She's like, she just wants to help. Like, she's just a servant. She's amazing. I'm not making fun of her. But my door knocked, and I thought, who's at my door? Couldn't see nobody. I opened the door because I knew I heard it knock, and he's pressed against the wall, skin and bones, shaking. And then amazing, he came to the house. Didn't talk to me for years, but he came to the house. He knew Mom was out of town. He knew I was the only one there. I looked out the door. Isn't this fun? Hey, buddy. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to see you. Man, you're not doing okay, are you? Oh, my goodness. Can I come in? Come on. Boy, that sure beats. Where in the blank have you been? What are you trying to pull? Do you have any idea what you've done to the heart of your mother? And now you just want to show up on the porch unannounced after all these years and just cry, what do you need? You're back against the wall. What do you need, money? Forget it, pal. Get a grip. Come on, church. I've pastored for years, and I've seen that kind of attitude in countless parents that feel betrayed. You did not have your kids to serve you and live your dreams. You had them to multiply the image of Christ. Your kids can't fail you unless you put all your hope in them. It's supposed to be in the Lord. Oh, I'm on you this morning. We okay? Boy, it sure feels good to have him owe me nothing and mean it and not have to try to put on the sermon that I preached last on this topic. Oh, my God, it's my son. Okay, I'm supposed to be loving. I'm supposed to be merciful. Okay, I'm supposed to cry. No, you're too late. If you're trying to put it on, and no, you become the word. You're wise. You hear, you become. And when the storms come, bam, the gospel responds. If you're trying to apply a sermon in the moment, you're a step behind. Thank God you're at least trying to get a hold of your heart, but you're a step behind because then you have to get plastic and go, hey, hi, and you're all kinds of other things. But wonder if you can just go, hey, buddy. He says, Dad, I don't even know where to start. He said, can I hug you? I said, come here. He said, He's 123 pounds. Wasn't good. He said, I don't even know where to start. I said, how about if I start? He looked. I said, I want you to know I'm not mad at you. I'm not even disappointed. My heart hurts for you, buddy. If I cry, it's not because of you. It's for you. You, my friend, are so much more than what you're living. And I know it. And buddy, I'm not mad at you because you don't owe me a thing. You haven't failed us as a family. You're slipping on your own destiny, your own calling, your own purpose. If you're failing anything, it's what you're created to be. You don't owe me a thing, son. And I'm not one bit mad at you. Are you kidding me? All I have for you is love. He said, Dad, I can't understand how you can't be mad. Because I'm not my own. Christ is in me. And I know who you are. And it's time to rise up and live that thing, boy. He's like, Now, how many of us are actually angry, disappointed, disgraced, my name tainted, because my boy, well, my kids reflect? No, I reflect me. My kids can reflect me, but it doesn't mean if you want to see a parent, look at their kids. Are you kidding me? Some kids are deceived, hurt, in rebellion. What kind of preaching is that? I heard a pastor say once, if you want to see a real man of God, look to the countenance of his wife. Wonder if his wife doesn't want anything to do with God. Wonder if his wife's insecure and believing lies. Now you're going to put it on the man of God that he's not a man of God because his wife's not smiling. It's so unfair. I'm going to be raw. It's ridiculous preaching. The Bible doesn't say if you want to see Christ in me to look to somebody else. It says look to me. You'll know them by their fruits. We put so much pressure on each other. We say, well, it's always about the fathers. You fathers, we put a lot of pressure on you guys. I'm sure some fathers could spruce up. I agree. But let's stop putting the whole move of the kingdom on men. God said to me once, Dan, am I the best father ever? He said, I don't want you preaching that father stuff. I said, I wasn't thinking about it, Lord. He said, let me ask you a question. He talked to me in sentences. Am I the best father ever? I said, yep. He said, do I need a parenting program? No. He said, not everybody's running to my lap. Is it a reflection of the father or a lack of sonship and belonging? I said, wow. We make it all about the Father when He's the greatest, but not everybody's running to Him. Do you see how important it is to have a clear view of God? And do you see now why His name is so skewed on the earth? Because the enemy has set out to misrepresent the truth so men don't run to it and find freedom. The more you see Him for who He is, the more you'll honor Him. And when you honor Him, it brings out the best in you. When you see His first love, you love Him. What's the earth do? Indict Him, blame Him, judge Him, crucify Him. The only reason you can be mad at God is because Adam ate the tree and you live separate from God your whole life. Well, I don't know why God let it happen. Well, you had to sit by and let it happen. Well, God allowed it. Well, why did God? Well, if God loved me, then how come? That is the fall of man. Do not boast in that deception. That is lies. See, every time they ask Jesus, do you ever notice this, Pastor? Every time they ask Jesus a question in the Bible from the wrong heart, He answered them with a question. Pay attention to your Bible and see if that's not true. Every time they asked Jesus a question from the wrong place, He responded with a question. So we say, well, if God's so good, then how come? I'll say, let me ask you a question. If God wasn't good, then why'd He send His Son while we were all yet sinners? Maybe we ask the wrong questions because we live from the wrong foundations of perspective. And maybe we've really made this all about us instead of all about Him. And maybe we're just trying to pray to catch a break, get a new hand, and survive instead of be transformed and shine. This young boy in Alabama stood up. I'm preaching like this. He said, brother, this is affecting me. I'm getting a revelation while you're preaching. Right in the service, he just raised his hand over the side. I said, stand up and tell me what you're hearing. Because I figured we'll adjust it if it's slanted. If it's not clear, I'll just help him and I won't embarrass him. He looked me right in the eyes. He said, if I'm hearing you clear, sir, there is no such thing as a bad day anymore in Christ, just opportunities to shine. I said, that's what I'm preaching. You guys good? Do you believe we can live this way? The just live by? Not feelings. Not feelings. I'm messing with you a little. We've become so accustomed to living by feelings that you know what we do in the church in Good Attention? We spend countless hours ministering to feelings, emotions, flashbacks, memories, and miss faith and truth that makes you free. What's the matter if you're not feeling good today about yourself? You ought to look to the gospel and feel good in a moment. What's the matter if you don't believe and feel or feel like, well, I don't feel like God loves me? He has to. He put his son on the cross. He has to love you. He put Jesus on the cross and said, if any man, why would you be deceived to talk yourself out of any? It's just feelings. It's emotions. It's degenerate stuff. Well, I feel afraid. Lift your hands and thank God that there's courage in you and life in you. And there's nothing to ever fear again because he's for you and not against you. And it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you're a sheep in the pasture of God. Yeah? Well, yeah, but I was driving in my car and I remembered this terrible thing I did a year ago and it made me feel so dirty. Well, you don't need prayer. Stop believing that stuff. It bothered you, didn't it? Well, then it isn't you. You ought to get excited. So when you see the vision, why aren't you driving going, well, God, I thank you. You've changed my life forever. Man, there wasn't a long time ago. I was in a bad place, but you've got my feet on solid ground. You've purified my heart, changed me, washed me. I feel so clean driving to work. It's awesome. And that little imp that's going, yak, 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 is going, what? Come on, man. What's your name? What is it? So Josh, you're Christian, right? Because if you're not, we can do something about that. You a Christian? All right, man, good. Yeah, oh, yeah, you are. Awesome. Now listen, seriously, guys, listen. Here's Josh. He's growing in God. He's encouraged. Man, he's growing in the Spirit and growing in faith. He's been saved for a while. All of a sudden, this thing comes on his shoulder. He says, oh, yeah. Because see, here's what happens behind the scenes. Satan's over here, and he says, hey, you see Josh? You know how you messed with him when he was a kid and stuff? Look, I need you to go back. You're familiar to his life. You're familiar to his spirit. You know Josh. You know some things about him. You know what worked in the past, right? And you know, oh, yeah, Josh, I know, yeah. Well, listen, he's getting some momentum, and he's going after God, and I don't like it, man. I feel like he's heading somewhere, and he's going to lay a hold of something that's going to mess with us. So here's what I want you to do. Oh, boss, you're so, oh, boss. Yeah. Hey, Josh, really think you're encouraged, huh? I mean, what's your life really matter? What difference is it really making? I mean, come on. What's the big deal about you being saved? How's things different, man? How's things going any better? Really? I mean, come on. Isn't this thing a little overbilled, Josh? He's got two options right now. That's his first option, or second. Here's his other one. He's driving, I think. Father, I just thank you for the encouragement that's in my heart. God, I just so appreciate your amazing, unstoppable love for me. God, I thank you you're going to continue to give me visions and dreams and purpose. And God, I believe that my life, without even realizing it, in so many ways have sowed seeds into the hearts of people. And your kingdom is working through me. And you are making a difference through my one life. And God, I thank you together we make up the whole of who you are. I am so excited to be a part of what you're doing. Yeah. And this little imp's going, boss, remember Josh, you sent me this? Yeah, how'd it go? Boss, you ain't gonna believe this. But I told him, boss, I promise, I told him everything you told me to say. Yeah, yeah. And but you, boss, he started to worship God. You fool. He couldn't worship God. When you talk like that to Christians, they get depressed and ask for prayer. Not this Christian. He acted like he believed something. It was scary, boss. I don't even want to go see him again because when he talked, God came in the car. Yeah! Come on! And you think you have a problem? You have an answer. You want people with a whole bunch of problems? You got an amazing answer. You keep your eyes on truth. You continue in the truth, and the truth will make you free. Transform your feelings into understanding and revelation, and you won't be a pushover. Your feet will be on solid ground. Yeah? Come on. Stop believing lies. Stop believing just because you thought it, because you felt it. It's somehow in you. It's trying to get back in. It lost its home. You keep it out here by keeping your eyes on Him. I promise you, you don't need to call somebody for prayer every time you feel funny. It's not ministry that shall make you free. We are a ministry-driven, crazed people. Everybody, pray for this. Can you pray for me? I just need prayer. I just don't feel good. Just pray for me. I'm not making fun of people. It's real. I travel everywhere. Everybody wants prayer for every feeling. This is not a magic wand. It is an invitation into an everlasting covenant that shall never be broken, where God is faithful. He will never leave you or forsake you, and all that is His is yours. Yeah. I feel done. You don't believe that probably, but it's Sunday morning, and I'm good boy on Sunday morning. I'm a good boy. I got a little halo on me. You go to a little emoji, little smiley face with the... That's me. Let me tell you why I flew here. You understand that this year I probably had 600 invites? You didn't know that. It's unbelievable what God's doing. It's a testimony to the church. It doesn't boast in me. It's not like, you got 600. I'm not saying it for that. I'm saying it because there's that much hunger and anticipation out there that 600 pastors would invite me to their churches without even having relationship with me, because they hear what we're saying and they're going, there's life there. 600 invites. And I landed here. Why? Because I read Tina Fowler's invite and email, and I said, I want to go to that area of North Carolina. I don't think I've been right in that area. That sounds good to me. And out of all those hundreds, I just picked it out and said, I want to go. Why? Because I knew you'd be here, and I was right. Watch. Did I come for finances? That's ridiculous. I know that's out there. That'll never be said of me. I told them up front, you don't even have to take an offering for me. I'm not coming for now. I buy my own plane tickets for the last 8-10 years everywhere I go. I don't turn in reimbursements for nothing. You look on a website, there is nowhere to partner with Dan Moeller anywhere. Jesus sends me. And I come for one reason. There's people where I go. And I'm not mad at people. I see their value. And I'm looking in your faces saying, man, if they really knew the army they are, if they really knew that 1 + 1 + 1 + everybody we love and touch and shine light on, that's how we change a culture. That's how we impact a community. I'm looking at the army of God, the body of Christ. This is the roster of heaven, and you're enough. I'm here. I flew here to tell you who you are and what you're called to. And don't let anything else be your purpose, so you'll find yourself lacking and coming short. If you're a Christian for any other reason, of course you'll struggle. How's that for narrow? The only reason we're Christians is to become love, walk in His image, and love one another. And if we miss that, we've missed the whole point. What do I accomplish if I come to this house for the next 50 years, never miss a Sunday, serve in children's church, pass a basket now and then? All those things are important. But if I'm finding my identity through that, and for 50 years, and then I get thrown into crisis and respond like the man that never went to church, we've horribly missed the truth. Let your light so shine, people, before men, that they see your life lived and your good works, and glorify the Father in heaven. Arise and shine, church, because your light has come. Oh, yeah, darkness covers the earth, deep darkness the people. But the light, it's on you. Come on, you can live this way. You all in agreement? Okay, I bless you. I feel done. I'm not even doing any ministry. You close as a pastor, pray, do whatever you want to do. Thanks for letting me come to your house. Thanks for receiving me. Love you.